Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Bit behind today and lots of time-sensitive stuff going on, so let's get right into it. The Gang are trending hashtag Herzog Schools Nadler right now. This in support of the debate that was recorded yesterday and will be airing right now. You can watch it on TV in New York or watch it live with either Paget or Matt, who are currently streaming it. Hop in and join the fun. Trump signed his executive order regarding police reform and presented it to the world, so let's take a look at what he's done for us. I'll read the important parts and try to clarify and give my thoughts after each section. I'll be paraphrasing to trim down the length and get at the meaty bits, but I believe this covers everything of importance as accurately as possible. It reads roughly as follows. The Attorney General shall, as appropriate, allocate DOJ grant funding only to those state and local law enforcement agencies that have sought or are seeking appropriate credentials from a reputable independent credentialing body certified by the Attorney General. Independent credentialing bodies should address in their reviews policies and training regarding use of force and de-escalation techniques, performance management tools such as early warning systems that help identify officers who may require intervention, and best practices regarding community engagement. The standards for certification shall require, at minimum, to confirm that the law enforcement agency's use of force policies adhere to all applicable laws and use of force policies prohibit use of chokeholds. End paraphrase. So there will be an independent agency to credential police departments, and federal grants won't go to any who don't meet the standards. The standards will include the above in some form, but what exactly they will entail is unknown and to be determined by BAR. Pretty vague. This could be anything from stringent and far-reaching police reform to basically nothing at all, beyond removing grant money from departments who don't follow the law or get the credential. Even then, it's unclear how stringent the investigation will be as to whether the law was followed. Back to the order. The Attorney General shall create a database to coordinate sharing of information between and among federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial law enforcement agencies concerning instances of excessive use of force related to law enforcement matters, accounting for applicable privacy and due process rights. The database shall include a mechanism to track, as permissible, terminations or decertifications of law enforcement officers, criminal convictions of law enforcement officers for on-duty conduct, and civil judgments against law enforcement officers for improper use of force. The Attorney General shall take appropriate steps to ensure that the info in the database consists only of instances in which law enforcement officers were afforded fair process. End paraphrase. So there will be a database to track misconduct and abuse by police, something we should have had all along. However, the provisions accounting for privacy and due process are concerning, as many cases of discipline are already thrown out for bureaucratic reasons, such as the discipline was not applied in the proper time frame or they didn't dot the I's on the paperwork. These minor discrepancies account for a large percentage of valid abuses being overlooked, facilitated by unions and executives, and this will likely be the same. Back to the order. The Attorney General shall regularly make available to the public aggregated and anonymized data from the database. The Attorney General shall allocate DOJ grant funding only to those law enforcement agencies that submit the information described above. End paraphrase. So again, enforced only by grant funding. Back to the order, the Attorney General shall, in consultation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, identify and develop opportunities to train cops for encounters with individuals suffering impaired mental health, homelessness, and addiction. End paraphrase. Training cops to handle abnormal minds is good. What that training will involve is not even hinted at. Not good. Back to the order. Increase social workers working directly with cops and provide guidance regarding the development and implementation of co-responder programs, which involve social workers or other mental health professionals working alongside cops to arrive and address situations together. End paraphrase. This sounds similar to one of the demands of defund police advocates to have social workers respond in these situations instead of cops. This has both of them responding together, which would be an improvement over the current situation, though it would still involve armed police, which means the situation could still end up in death. The bigger concern is that it only promises to provide guidance for these programs rather than enforce that the programs exist. This could be as worthless as the government saying, hey, you should bring some social workers with you, and the police department says, nope, and that's the end of it. Back to the order. Further legislation shall include training and technical assistance to adopt and implement improved use of force policies and procedures, including scenario-driven de-escalation techniques, end paraphrase. So we'll have more on those coming in the future. Back to the order, retention of high-performing law enforcement officers and recruitment of law enforcement officers who are likely to be high-performing. In paraphrase, retention of and recruitment of sounds very suspiciously like hiring more police and raising their pay. Pretty sure that's the opposite of what most reformists have in mind. Continuing, confidential access to mental health services for law enforcement officers and programs aimed at developing or improving relationships between law enforcement and the communities they serve, including through community outreach and listening sessions, and supporting nonprofits that focus on improving stressed relationships between law enforcement officers and the communities they serve. End paraphrase. So cops get therapists, someone shows up at a town hall now and then to listen to the community complain, but no mention of any follow-up action on those complaints, and some undisclosed nonprofits are hired to do undisclosed things. Overall, maybe I'm being overly cynical, but this is so vague, and considering it's all being left to Barr's discretion, a man who has been eroding rather than strengthening accountability for police, I expect this means lots more funding for police and sham reform. But I could be wrong. There's potential for it to be something meaningful. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not optimistic based on the track record of those running it, though. Oh, and let's not forget that the cops can ignore all of this if they forgo federal grants. Yeah. Also at the ceremony, Trump added, quote, I strongly oppose the radical and dangerous efforts to defund, dismantle, and dissolve our police departments, especially now when we have achieved the lowest recorded crime rates in history. Americans know the truth. Without police, there is chaos. Without law, there is anarchy. There are a small number of bad police officers. They are very tiny. I use the word tiny. It is a very small percentage, but you have them. End quote. So misrepresenting the goal of defund the police advocates, pandering to the police, and I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot more than a tiny percentage of bad police during these protests. Moving on, Atlanta has developed an economic security task force to investigate options for improving financial stability in the Fourth Ward. The team leader only called out two potential solutions they'll be investigating by name. One was EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit. The other was guaranteed income. The team will be looking into these options over the next 6 months, fairly certain they'll all be Yang Gang by the end. A happiness index survey was updated in May showing that only 14% of Americans are feeling very happy. That is the lowest in the history of the survey, going all the way back to 1973. In fact, it's never gone below 29% before. This was just before the death of George Floyd. The survey also shows that only 42% expect their children to have a better standard of living than themselves. Also the lowest since that question was first added in 1994. Unfortunately, they're right. There was a time when standard of living was rising steadily for decades in the mid-20th century, but it's been going the other way for the last few decades. In Congress, at least four lawmakers are known to have relatives who were executives in businesses that benefited from the Small Business Paycheck Protection Program loans. Meanwhile, Democrats continue to pressure for full disclosure of the beneficiaries to the public, while Republicans fight to keep it hidden. Meanwhile, our favorite CEO, Dan Price, provided a Twitter thread with a list of examples of companies currently going bankrupt who just paid out huge bonuses to the executives who bankrupted the company. It's Very long. Great place to go if you want to be raving mad for a while. The other day, three police officers reported being poisoned at a Shake Shack in New York. They went to a local hospital, and the police union said they were poisoned with bleach. You may be wondering why I'm only now mentioning it, because unlike the police, I don't like to report speculation as though it were fact. The investigation has since determined that there was no bleach and no intentional poisoning. The shake machine had just been cleaned, and there was leftover residue from the cleaning agent that was not sufficiently rinsed before making the shakes. The result was that the shakes tasted funny, and the cops assumed they'd been poisoned, and the union assumed it was bleach, and they all told the whole world about their assumptions as though they were fact. In a since-retracted tweet, the union said, quote, "When New York City police officers cannot even take meals without coming under attack, it is clear the environment in which we work has deteriorated to a critical level. We cannot afford to let our guard down for even a moment," end quote. And that is exactly the state of mind that fuels police brutality. We can't let our guard down for a moment, or someone will kill us. They act like they're at war. I get it, there are significant risks to the job. You are a target to some degree, but guess what? It's nowhere near the most dangerous job in America, and the police seem to be doing citizens more harm than the other way around. This culture needs to change. To add some extra spice to the incident, Yang had been joking around with people on Twitter about whether Shake Shack or Five Guys was the best burger joint just prior to the initial reporting of the story. He had to quickly clarify that he had no idea about it and would not have made flippant remarks about a poisoning. This has only led some to suspect even further Yang's clairvoyance. After all, his stump speech referenced the last pandemic, a coming economic collapse, the folly of connecting income and healthcare to jobs, and a boot on people's throats. And now Shake Shack, just minutes before it happened. Coincidence? You decide. Jermaine Johnson and Yang are co-hosting a Zoom call right now, which is a volunteer call to action on pursuing three big goals: supporting Humanity Forward candidates, pressuring Congress, and providing COVID relief. Not sure if registration is still open, but the link is below. Nerds for Humanity interviewed congressional candidate Robbie Goldstein regarding his endorsement by Humanity Forward and Andrew Yang, as well as his take on the relation between coronavirus and climate change. Meanwhile, Matt is interviewing Russ Cirincione today on his run to unseat Frank Pallone in New Jersey, who has been actively working to undermine the UBI bill in Congress. And finally, the gang's inexhaustible educator, Erica Simone, has officially filed to run for Congress in California in 2022. Having watched countless videos of her yanging people into submission, I pity Representative Brad Sherman. He does not stand a chance. Thank you for your epic contribution, Erica. We're with you. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Help trend Herzog School's Nadler. Watch the debate. Give your thoughts to the Economic Security Task Force. Join the call to action. Thank Erica for running for us. Help advocate for clear, fundamental policy goals for the protests. If you're going out to protest, wear protection, especially on your eyes, head, and throat. If you get arrested while protesting, remember not to say anything without a lawyer. Whatever you choose to do, be wise, be safe, and act with measured purpose toward real solutions. And don't forget to Yang Daily.